old ex-girlfriend.
What's it been like?
3, 4 years?
8 years, 7 months, and 6 days, give or take.
Am I sensing feelings?
Well, you're right.
The only ones who gods care about is themselves.
So this is my vow.
All gods will die.
I just want to say that was very, very impressive what you did back there.
He's just my first bad guy.
You never forget your first.
You, I'm unlike the other gods of Kiln. Because I have something worth fighting for.
Hello and welcome to this very special edition of the Fan Critical podcast, or shall I say pubcast, Gareth, because what we've decided to do is do some of our live sort of instant reactions, but lengthen them out about films that necessarily we don't really think warrant a 1 hour podcast, but do warrant us having a lovely little beer. Yeah, lovely little beer, isn't it?
It is. I'm going to rename it the Freezing Critical Pubcast, because it's about 2 degrees.
In Melbourne, yes, it's cold. England, fucking sweltering at the moment. That's 40 degrees. In England, that is mental. But we are here at a lovely bar called Hunter and Barrel. Shout out, please do sponsor us. Having a lovely dark ale after seeing Thor, Love and Thunder.
Ooh.
Yeah, sound excited.
I am.
This is going to be interesting because we've talked about this. Marvel fatigue, and yes, we're still covering them because yes, we do love the characters and stuff like that, but and we were excited about this film because this is Taika Waititi and we love Taika's films. We're talking about obviously Thor Ragnarok, which is an absolutely brilliant
bottle film, very funny,
and then you've got also Jojo Rabbit, which I loved.
Yep,
absolutely,
very funny.
Absolutely adored Jojo Rabbit.
Okay,
right?
It's not funny.
It's not, well,
it's got funny moments.
It's definitely funny.
It's not comedy.
It's also, sad. So we come here to watch Thor Love and Thunder. I'm expecting laughs. And what we have, basically, is a very bizarre film.
It's bizarre. It's fucking weird.
It's fucking weird. So, where do we start with this film, Gareth? Where do we actually begin? Because for my mind, I was expecting it to be hilarious.
Yep.
And in the end, I felt like a lot of the humour was sort of didn't land.
No.
Didn't help that we were in quite an empty showing. So there wasn't much of a, that sort of seal complex that the audiences get where they all clap and laugh together and
shit. Yeah, None of that happening.
None of that happening. No. Just me and Gareth sort of occasionally making quips to each other, making the film funnier.
We made it funnier, to be fair. What I will say is the humour. They're trying way too hard to be funny.
So hard.
And I think the glory of Ragnarok was that it just, it felt so natural and fast-paced humour. And
it was different at the time as well. I know we'd had Guardians, but Thor, up to that point, had been, Thor 1 and Thor Dark World, quite serious films in a way. And he had less of a personality. And Ragnarok really brought that sort of jokey...
Yeah.
It turned him into a little bit of a joke character, which was then carried on into moments in Infinity War. But then he also had that heavy arc where he lost Loki in Infinity War, and that was a big thing.
But all of that,
thing.
All that worked because he now had a personality. So yeah, it was right.
He made funny jokes, but he also had a bit of depth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Funny guys can be sad too.
They can. But he's turned into a bit of even more of a joke in this film.
Yeah.
I think this is... Right.
I didn't know anything going in.
Yeah.
I just...
You knew
who
directed it, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm.
So, slight optimism going in because of that.
Yeah.
But I didn't know how this had been received at all.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's interesting. Would you be surprised if I told you it's very middling? It's kind of like 70-ish on Metacritic, I think, at the moment.
that doesn't surprise me because, I don't know, like, this is part of the reason that I've got Marvel fatigue, is that, like, everything, unless it's abysmal, gets at least that.
You know what? That's interesting because a lot of the TV stuff, right, which we've talked about at length, nothing has broken like an 8 out of 10 or a 4 out of 5 bloobs for me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So if you go by our scale, the patented blueberry scale, which we'll come on to in a minute with our score for Thor, Love and Thunder, but nothing in phase 4, I believe this is phase 4 still, post-Infinity War, nothing for me has broken the 4 out of 5 blueberry marker. Where would Thor sit in your blueberry scores, Gareth?
Love and Thunder?
Yeah. Not the character. The film we just went to see, for fuck's sake.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, that tried one. To wipe already, it. Already forgotten about it. That's a hint as to where the score's going.
I'm giving this film 2 blueberries.
Oh, shit, son. It's like John's here in some sort of phantom.
Yeah, but you know what?
Sort of state.
This. Do you know what?
Go on.
I actually think, in a weird way,
mm.
John might score this more highly than
I don't think he will.
Than you
I think
would.
He'll hate it. I think he will hate it.
I hope so.
I think he'd give it one, mate.
He'd be
honestly.
Right to. But it's a weird film. Well, we've said that. But it is weird. It started off strange.
Doctor Strange. No, he's not in it. He's not in it.
No.
Fucking hell.
What's he doing here?
What are you doing? You just had a film. Fuck off.
We did yours.
We did yours.
It was
pretty.
It was quite
good. Actually.
Yeah, actually come back.
Actually, yeah, you might dismiss it. It's better, yeah. Couple of drunkards leaving the pub now, so that's what you hear in the background.
Don't say
continue,
that.
Continue, yeah.
If you had the visual to go with.
Yeah, if you saw what we just saw. You would, yeah, so come on.
Let's just say, I hope she's got enough charge to get to her car.
Fucking hell. Right, come on, crack on.
Right.
You gave it 2.
I gave it 2. Yeah. Why did I give it 2? Because
you didn't enjoy it.
I didn't love it. It wasn't very good. It wasn't funny. Like, I think that's fundamentally the problem because it thinks it is and it tries really hard.
I think it's trying really hard.
Tries really hard to be funny and it's not. Yeah. And I kept thinking, these jokes are about 5 years old. Like, there was a whole big thing about, oh, he was a sad bod, and then a dad bod, yeah, and then a god bod. And it's like, the whole, like, dad bod thing, I feel like that was in...
Don't mock a dad bod.
Well...
I'm rocking one right now.
You're doing well.
Don't mock rock, yeah? Korg.
You've been speaking to Taika Waititi?
Yeah, trying too hard again with my
trying
jokes.
Too hard.
Too hard.
But it was like, there was that. I feel like, oh, doesn't skip leg day. It's like, come on, that's... I think people were making
that's
that joke.
That's a
10-year-old
joke.
Yeah, a while ago.
Yeah.
Overcomplicated high-five sequences and screaming goats, which we will get onto later. But, you know, when there was that YouTube phase of watching goats screaming and it sounded like people...
It was funny.
That was like 5 years ago as well.
No, it was like 10 years ago.
10 years ago. Why are they bringing all the 10-year jokes
back? I was surprised
there
was no sneezing pandas in there.
Exactly. oh, look, Thor's planking.
Yeah.
Come on.
Weird. What I will say is...
He's got a yo-yo.
I would say this is... Of the Phase 4 films I've seen... I would say Shang-Chi is the best, and it surprised me the most.
I haven't seen it.
It's really good. Like, it's not a 5. It's a 4, and it's a really good 4. We liked Doctor Strange because it had a really weird horror elements and just was a bit different in a way. It followed like a Super Mario story. I've had one dark ale. Jesus. But
you're driving home in a minute.
Yeah, I am. No, I'm not over the limit. I promise you, I've had one beer, okay? Just a bit cold. Shivering out here. But I do think this is a 3 out of 5. I can't legitimately give it a 2.
Why?
Because I think some of the visuals are quite cool. I liked Christian Bale's performance.
Did you?
No, I did. I did enjoy it. I liked Natalie Portman in this film. I think Chris Hemsworth did a good job with what he was given.
Did he...
Yeah, he's still got that. He's got the charisma.
I've got question marks over all of the things you just said, apart from the visuals, which were actually at times
The Shadow Realm was really cool. I really like that. But I do think that Taika Waititi, I actually saw him doing some, like, you know when they go on these press junket tours before the film comes out? He was on, like, some news programs, and I saw some interviews on, like, BBC and stuff.
Did he say it was going to be shit?
No, but he just looked so unenthused.
Did he?
He genuinely, I was watching him, and I was like, this isn't the way that Taika usually is. He's usually quite, like,
effervescent.
Effervescent is the word. Yeah, that's a good word. Hmm. And I was watching those interviews. I was like, this is weird. These interviews are weird.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't being weird. That makes sense. He wasn't being quirky. He just seemed really flat.
That makes a lot of sense. And I think, like, you can see that in, like, a lot of the direction, a lot of the lines, and the delivery.
Once he had put this film together, he realised that he'd made a few mistakes.
Yeah.
And they did talk about how this is, some people won't like this because they've turned Thor into a romantic comedy. And I'm sorry, it wasn't that comedic.
it wasn't that romantic either.
You know, I mean, the romance is there, but it's not as strong as I'd like.
Forced.
Yeah. Forced. Forced. Yes.
I think I'm going to give it a one just for that.
No. I do think there are some good things in this film, but overall it's a big miss for me. Not a two.
And you're giving it three.
I can't give it a two. I can't justify giving it a two, bro.
Leonard. It cannot be.
I'm trying to think
a big miss.
Yeah,
and you give it a three, like a big miss.
It's good. It's a good film.
It's not a good film.
It's not a great film.
Come on.
It's not a bad film. You're not saying it's bad.
I think it's not a good film.
Okay,
that's how I'd describe it.
Like a 2.5, but we can't do that, as everyone knows.
Please.
Okay. Well, let's talk about a couple of key things in there. You didn't like Christian Bale.
It wasn't so much Christian Bale that I didn't like. Maybe it was.
He's a cool character.
I thought the character was interesting. And when I saw the trailers, I was intrigued and a bit creeped out by him. And I was like, this could be good. And I think Christian Bale is a good actor to get on sort of thing.
Do you know what's funny? Just to jump in there, is they had a... Taika even said in one of these press things, like they asked him, this is when I was talking about really flat. They asked him, like, why did you cast Christian Bale as Gore the God Butcher? And he said, well, everyone else has been in everything Marvel. So we just thought, who hasn't been in something?
Who's left?
Christian Bale.
Yeah.
So continue.
It was either him or Sylvester Stallone.
He's been in it.
Oh, shit, yeah, yes.
He's one of the sort of opposite Guardians.
Well, there you go. So that's it.
Yeah.
The only one left. Yeah. Oh, and fucking... who else was in it?
Russell Crowe. Very good.
Matt Damon.
Oh, my God. That was bizarre.
Bizarre. Okay, so the scene of them doing their little acting thing, that was semi-funny.
Yeah, I thought it was quite good.
That was one of the okay bits of humour.
That woman at the Bridesmaids was in it.
Yeah.
Playing Hella.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah, that was weird. That was funny. That was kind of funny.
Yeah.
Then they make a second appearance, which is one of the least funny things I've ever seen.
It was so weird. I have no idea.
Forcing
why
stuff.
Why they were doing
so weird.
No idea.
Now they're ticked off as well. They can't be in anything.
They're done.
They're done. Anyway, what was I saying? Christian Bale. So.
Or the God.
I just thought.
Again.
Yeah.
Yeah. No pun intended.
There was like I was getting mixed messages from his character. It's like, oh, is he super creepy?
Yeah.
Yes. But then he's delivering lines like a cartoon villain.
I feel like he put his all into it, but I feel like the script really let him down at times. I quite liked his story. His story in the comics is really interesting. He's actually very similar. The sword gives him the power to kill gods, and that is what he, you know, goes on a quest to do. And then obviously it's from a Thor comic, so it's interesting. But he wasn't fleshed out enough. There was moments there, like the start was really serious, and then it gets really fucking, like you said, Mighty Boosh. It was like, he walks into this oasis with a god who's like, oh, we are the gods. We laugh at you, mortals. Yeah.
Who is eating all of my fruits?
Look at this peasant eating my fruit. And then these weird little forest creatures going.
It was Mighty Boosh season one.
And if no one knows what Mighty Boosh is, especially if you're American, go look it up. Fucking hilarious. So brilliant. Random.
So good.
So good, though.
But so good as a exceptionally budget.
Exceptionally budget.
Bizarre, quirky British comedy.
God. Yeah.
Not as a
multi-hundred million dollar blockbuster.
Yeah. MCU movie.
Yeah, okay.
Don't put
the Boosh in there.
Okay, Russell Crowe then. I felt that his accent was laughable but hilarious. His turn as Zeus, I thought, was one of the best moments in the film, but also kind of pointless.
Yep.
They get the bowl. I mean, it's kind of a story beat, but...
Is it, though? Like, yeah, that could have been any weapon.
Could have been any weapon, anywhere.
It was kind of cool.
They could have gone back to Nevevidia with Peter Dinklage and forged a weapon.
Yes, do that.
I heard rumours that a scene with him was cut and a scene with Jeff Goldblum was cut.
Ooh,
from obviously Ragnarok. So that's interesting. But what I will say is I thought Russell Crowe was good fun. I thought he was genuinely good fun. And one of the funniest moments in the film was that whole sequence within the God City. His accent made it for me. I was laughing at it. I mean, we both turned to each other at one point and were like, this is borderline offensive accent.
It is.
It's borderline offensive.
Melbourne, where we live, has a massive Greek community.
Huge.
Largest number of Greeks
outside of Greece.
Of Athens.
Yeah.
Do you know that?
And Athens is in Greece, people.
Well done, mate. So, like, we are exposed to Greek accents quite a lot.
Yeah. We actually are. We go to Greek restaurants quite a lot. At least three times I've been to one in 3 years. That's one a year. Yeah. You do the math.
Now, how many of them sounded like Russell Crowe as Zeus?
None, actually.
None. Would say. But it was kind of funny. It was. Do you know what was a bit pathetic? Was this was supposed to be some pantheon of gods, right?
Go on.
And nobody did anything. They just all sat there watching whilst Thor...
I was hoping the bow god would have done something. That was quite funny.
See, but even that, I feel like... making jokes about dumplings feels about 3 years old.
Yeah,
like,
well, I've never heard that. That's a sentence you never thought you'd say. Making jokes about dumplings feels about 3 years old. Yeah. I would say it was just try hard again. It didn't make much sense. Yeah. Like,
oh, look, there's Bao, the god of dumplings.
I don't mind random shit.
Yeah.
I even more random than that. I felt like Bao was like, they've not tried hard enough to be random enough. Do you know what I mean?
Dumpling. Dumplings as a concept.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's like, oh,
delicious.
Mine. Lovely. But people would say it 3 years ago. I'm telling you, it was a three year ago thing. It was like the random word of choice. Like when we were kids, it was cheese. Everybody used to go like, oh, look at trees. And people would think that was hilarious and random and offbeat. And 3 years ago, it was dumpling.
Okay. What's the next trend going to be, Gareth? Can you predict that for us?
Spaghetti had its time.
Yeah,
so we can rule that out.
What a new
for
fad
sure.
food. Sushi.
The next one is going to be kale.
People are making fun of sushi these days. Got little games about sushi. Now.
Sushi.
Kale.
Five years ago. Kale.
Okay, right. So Russell Crowe, pretty good. Christian Bale, bad. Natalie Portman.
You think good. I think not good.
I actually thought she brought... the most emotional moments in the film, obviously. Spoiler warning, and this is spoilers. She dies, but she is the mighty Thor, and her battle with cancer, I felt, was quite... I thought it was quite strong, and I felt that her relationship with Thor...
Did you honestly think that was strong? I thought that was very swept under the carpet. Like,
I thought it was decent. I thought it was decent. I saw... This is what I said to you I said she's a heavyweight actor coming into this, and she was providing the heavyweight moments.
At no point did she look unwell with cancer.
Yes. In bed, I was like, oh my God, she looks like a fucking shell of a woman.
She's like dying, and she's clearly ready to go out on the town. She didn't look unwell.
Don't make fun of her eyes. It wasn't eyeliner, they were bags.
No, she was... I don't know. It didn't have the heft.
That's fair enough.
Or the
but that's the problem with this film.
Emotion that kind of storyline should have.
Do you know what I thought was funny? Is you look at a film like Guardians, right, which brilliantly marries comedy, random comedy, and then also it brings the moments,
human touch,
the human touch to it, like the I Am Groot moment when he protects them, the moments with Star-Lord and his mother at the start, like it's powerful stuff. There's some moments in there where you're like, oh fuck, this is really hitting home, and it's also funny. And it felt like Ragnarok was just funny, which I completely think why it's one of the best Marvel films, because on its own it's just such a nice breath of fresh air when everything around it was so serious at that time. It was all building up to the Infinity War saga, and then just before that came out, Ragnarok came out, and it was like, this is hilarious. And now it's like we're in this weird phase 4 where there's no clear direction, and there is no clear direction. It's all fucking going off into every tangent. They talk about multiple timelines, universes, and I get that's kind of where it's going, but we're not really building to anything. We're kind of like just sitting around. And at the end of this film, I'm like, nothing has changed. Thor still feels like a jokey character. He's got a daughter now, out of nowhere. That was bizarre.
So weird.
It's so bizarre. That's Love and Thunder. At the end, they give the Love and Thunder. And right. I thought that was going to be Jane Foster and him.
No. I mean, I'm glad it wasn't. Because
yes, on the nose.
I also thought that the whole love story, the romance part of this romantic comedy, I just thought was so flat and so poorly dealt with. It's like, oh, they've been exes and...
Yeah, we've all been there.
And the jealous fucking weapons, like, come on.
I will say the Stormbreaker and Mjolnir thing. There was a shot where Stormbreaker, after he, you know, forced on a flirt with Mjolnir again, and just sort of slowly creeps into frame. That made me chuckle. I thought that was very good.
Yeah, I heard you laughing.
Yeah, I love that bit. I thought that was quite good. I like the idea that these weapons have a character, like Stranger's Cape, like fucking, you know, these inanimate objects that, you know, magic carpet in Aladdin, for fuck's sake. Yeah. I like that shit.
But then what? He's absolutely fine with becoming somebody else's weapon at the end. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, okay. I don't know.
Nonsense. Yeah. Rubbish. One blueberry.
Unbelievable. One star he's about to give it. That's how angry he is. He's lost the scale. That's punishable by death in the fan critical community.
Didn't finish the sentence, so it's fine.
I do think they definitely dropped the ball on this. And I think we've got Taika fatigue. Big shout out. What do you think about that?
I
think Taika's fatigued of himself.
I think felt like a tired film. It just felt like a tired film. Felt like a movie that has got Marvel fatigue itself.
Yeah.
And yeah, it may well be a bit of Taika's fault, but...
Well, he's the director, so...
Yeah, a big part of it. But that's not everything that makes a movie.
Let's blame the grip, the guy doing electricity.
I've always said it. They're the first ones to claim responsibility when it goes well, and you know, the first to shirk it when it doesn't.
I just think that we're bored of Marvel to a point where it has to do something very interesting, or at least a different skew, to make us really love it. And everything about this film felt a little bit like, we said, trying too hard. Three Guns N' Roses songs in there.
Oh God, three. I know.
So what?
And most of them were...
Not even the good ones.
Most of them were played with giant goats screaming over the top of them.
Oh my God, the goats. So the goat humour, I can't believe Taika let that go in the film.
It's awful.
It was funny, so annoying. Maybe the first time, but then after that it was just not funny.
Literally the first time.
Gaz turned to me and said, what did you say?
I said, these goats had better not fucking be in it for the rest of the movie. And guess what? They fucking are.
We got to the point where it was waiting for the end credit scene, which in this one was a bit of a slog, and we were both sitting there going, it's going to be the fucking goats, isn't it?
Yeah.
Genuinely. Luckily it wasn't. The end credits were Zeus talking to Hercules, played by the guy who's in...
I think you'll find it's Heracles.
Yeah, that's what I said. Played by the guy who's in Ted Lasso, who plays the Roy Keane character, Roy Kent. Gaz hasn't seen Ted Lasso character, apparently. Ted Lasso's good, mate. And then that's interesting. And then the other one was Heimdall, Idris Elba returning, and Natalie Portman in Valhalla, which I thought was also quite interesting. Can they come back? Hopefully not. Oh, Jesus. I don't think Natalie Portman will, man. She's got lots going on in her life.
Yeah, come on. Crack on. Now.
You know.
Crack on now.
Crack on now. Black Swan, brilliant film. Smashed it in that.
Yeah. Do that one again.
Even the Star Wars prequels.
Black Swan 2, that's coming up.
Black Swan 2.
Yeah.
Darkest one. yeah, no. I mean, let's have some closing thoughts, Gareth, because I think these are the sorts of films. This is why we do these podcasts, because it's actually a bit more natural. We can come to the pub, have a drink, have some food straight away after seeing it. Like, I know people want to hear some maybe comic takes and stuff like that, but genuinely with this film, I do not think if you missed it, you're missing anything.
Absolutely not.
And from the Marvel Universe, I mean, whereas, you know, I think Strange has some bits in there which are interesting, like, you know, and I think you have to see it. Whereas I felt this was just kind of like, you could miss it. And that's why we do these sort, we're going to start doing these informal chats after films because not that we're just fatigued with Margle.
You can't even be bothered to call it its right name. Bring back Margle, but
just because we feel like if we'd come out of that film, I promise you now, and there was lots to digest, I'd be like, Gareth, you know what? Let's do an instant take. Let's post it on Patreon, patreon.com/fancritical. If you want to, you know, do that, please do.
/Margle.
I'd say, look, let's put an instant take on there and then let's go away and do an actual podcast on it. But coming out of that film, we both looked at each other. In fact, when we were waiting for the credits and the goats, which never came.
In fact, 35 minutes into the film.
Yeah, we were like, this is perfect for a podcast because we're going to get all of our thoughts across in like half an hour or so. And I don't think we're going to miss anything. I don't think the listeners are going to be like, did you not see that scene where in the Shadow Realm, the spider thing was killed by the goats? No one's going to say that. Right. And if they do, you shouldn't be listening to us because we fucking hate those goats.
Do you know what, though? I knew at the time. I was like,
yeah.
Len hates this movie. No, he's going to give it 3 blueberries. No. Yeah.
No, if John was here, John would give it 1, I'm telling you now. And Lucy, who loves Ragnarok, I reckon she would even give it a 2 or 3.
What? Here's a question for you, though. I don't think so, but do you think we would think of this differently if this exact film came out when Ragnarok came out and we watched this this film?
I still think we'd be tired of it. I definitely wouldn't be giving it a 4. I just think it's janky. I just think there's a couple of... No. It just doesn't work as well. I don't know whether it's the cast of characters, because in Ragnarok you've obviously got Loki, and I talked about this, how Loki is a huge positive. Like, even the Loki show, he's deserved his own time and he's got it now, and the Loki show is really good. I just think he's perfect foil for Thor. The bar's closing, which is why you're hearing all these noises. More drunkards coming out of the watering hole, as we say here in Australia. But no, for me, this film, Gareth, massive disappointment. I'm not going to be thinking about this tomorrow.
No.
The only reason I'm going to be thinking about this is because I'll be editing the podcast and listening to this.
Yeah, you will be thinking
about
it.
That's the only reason
you
I'm
literally
thinking about
will
it.
Be.
The day after that, after I've posted this podcast and our lovely dear listeners have listened, I will not be thinking about it again.
I'm done with it already. I've forgotten. Like, I'm glad we're wrapping
about
up.
Again.
Yeah.
What are we going to talk about again?
So, yeah, Doctor Strange, what do we give it?
Yeah. But that's our thoughts on Thor, Love and Thunder. Thank you very much, guys. I hope you like this informal sort of live reaction podcast. It's something we're going to try and do more of. Patreon is where you will usually find these. You can go to patreon.com/fancritical. Please do donate whatever you can. We just had a commissioned podcast from Eric Grin on The Weatherman, which is a bizarre Nicolas Cage film. So this is what you can do. If you want to commission a podcast, you can go on there, pay us some money to talk about something, and do a sort of reaction podcast to that, like we do with this. Films only, not series, because obviously that's a huge commitment. Unless you've already seen the series, in which case we'll happily talk about it. So always ask us.
Really talking people out of signing up.
No, just sign up. No, people should just sign up because they want to support us, Gareth. Yeah. They get some lovely bonus content as well. But they also can message us and also just help us out, because that's what we need. We need help.
We need help.
Thank you, Gareth, for joining me in the pub. We had a lovely dinner.
We did, yeah. I had a wonderful burger.
I had a wonderful Portuguese half chicken. Beautiful.
You did, yeah. Peri peri sauce. We're not at Nando's. That
no,
sounds
we're
very
not
much
Nando's.
Like
we're
at Nando's.
There's a lovely bar. Hunter and Barrel, sponsor us, please. Free beers. But yeah, thanks, guys. And we'll catch you on the next review. Of course, we've got some great things coming up. House of the Dragon. We started with Game of Thrones. That's out next month, and we're going to be covering that one.
We'll be doing Thor, Love and Thunder soon.
We've forgotten about it already.
What?
Anyway, catch you later, guys. See ya.
Bye.
Let's see who you are. I take off your disguise and flick.
Oh.
You flick too hard, damn it!
Shall we help him? Then eventually, grape.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.